Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of March 12th. This week we were joined by the editors of The Jesuit Post, a new online venture edited by young Jesuits in the United States that covers religion and pop culture. You can learn about them at thejesuitpost.org. We were joined in our conversation by Patty Gilger, Eric Sundrup, and Jim Keane, all Jesuit scholastics at the Jesuit School of Theology at Berkeley, as well as Sam Sawyer, who was calling in from Boston College. I began by asking Patty Gilger to describe the genesis of the Jesuit Post.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of young Jesuits around the country these days who are really wondering how we can engage our own peers, you know, family members, friends, acquaintances, people that we know, you know, in some kind of casual way, in kind of the same ways that we've been engaged with the faith. And what I mean by that is especially Jesuits, it seems to me, have been historically really good at presenting the content of the faith in a way that people in whatever culture that we happen to live in can hear. And I'm not sure that we've done a great job yet as a church in the West presenting Jesus Christ in a medium that's been shaped by the internet and by MTV and by, you know, some of these other kind of dominant cultural themes. And we just wanted to try to show that, look, the Lord that we believe in is present in all of these places, and that doesn't demand entering immediately into all of the tensions and the nervousnesses that can come around religious identity in the 21st century. It just means being in contact with a God who loves us, and that's something that we all really want to share very much. So that kind of thing was really on our hearts, I think, and wanted to do something dynamic, something interesting. We also, I think, really wanted to work with each other. We don't get a chance very often these days as Jesuits to do work with one another, and that's been a lot of fun, a really exciting thing for us to do.
Now, maybe I'll turn to you, Eric. My understanding is that this was inspired in part by the popular blog website Grantland. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah, it's Grantland. Patty is a huge fan of Grantland.
Okay. Well, Patty, maybe you can speak to it then. What do you think they do well that you're trying to emulate?
I'm an enormous fan of Bill Simmons, and that guy, you know, he's a Holy Cross grad, those kinds of things. That always makes me a little proud. But one of the things that Grantland does fantastically well is that, I mean, Bill Simmons and his staff are all about blending sports and pop culture in whatever ways they can find, and that often reveals really interesting things. It just helps when they read them against each other, we can see things in really provocative ways. And he's got this just mammoth media following that he's built up because he's an interesting person, and he's been very persistent at looking at sports through the lens of the fan. Now, you know, we can only imitate that so much, but what we really want to do is just say that the same way that sports and pop culture can be interrelated on Grantland, we really want to interrelate faith and pop culture, faith and sports, the Catholic Church, and all of these different things. I think it's a real model for, you know, doing work in the 21st century.
Jim Keane, who used to work here at America, maybe, Jim, you can speak to, you know, what you folks are trying to do that maybe other Catholic media outlets don't do so much. Is it, you know, the audience, pop culture, or I guess a combination of both?
Yeah, I think that part of the genesis of this also comes from the experience that a lot of us have had, either in teaching in Regency or working in colleges and first studies or in theology, of working with young people who don't necessarily care about the same issues that might come up in Catholic media in general, which tends to be a very intra-ecclesial fight sometimes, or at least centered around issues that can seem very important in the realm of sort of very committed, church-going, educated Catholics. So issues around liturgy or ecclesiology or the relationship between the church and politics, obviously a big issue now. But I think what a lot of us have the experience of is that there's also a very large population of young Catholics and young Christians who are actually looking for a way to be engaged with their faith that makes sense to them in a way that intra-ecclesial fights don't. And a lot of the ways they do that, or that's what we hope, is a lot of the ways that happens is through the media of culture, either low culture, high culture, what they read, what they listen to, what they're interested in. And to the degree that we can reach that, then we're really fulfilling a goal of sort of missionary work in the church, and a very Jesuit goal as well, is to reach people where they are and to bring God to them in their lives. That sounds a little highfalutin, but I think that's sort of one of the driving forces behind what we're trying to do.
Well, I'm looking at your website now, and I see, you know, you've got something here on Demi Moore and also on Downton Abbey and Lady Gaga, so you're definitely covering a range of pop culture topics. Is it also, I mean, do you guys bring your own interest in these subjects? Is that one of the reasons? Anybody can feel free to weigh in here, but, you know, how do you choose what to write about, for example?
I think, this is Eric, I think one of the things that we talked about is we wanted to get Jesuits involved who are already talking about these topics with their friends, already talking about these things with their peers. So we wanted to get them talking about their own interests, the things they're reading about, the hobbies that they have anyway, and provide a place where all the Jesuits can sort of have a crosstalk conversation going on in one place so people can see Jesuits talking about this stuff on their own anyway. It's not like we're asking guys to go far afield and do tons of research. I mean, some guys are doing great research, but we're asking them to talk about the stuff they're interested in anyway, the blogs and the sites you would read anyway. Can you put that up and show people how that affects your own life as a Jesuit, how it affects your own prayer, how it affects your own spirituality, and get that up there so people can see it's happening already. I mean, one of the main things is this stuff is already happening. We just need to provide a place where people can see how it's affecting our lives and their lives.
This is Sam, by the way. One of the things I think that, and Patty noted this in his introductory piece, one of the things that a lot of us found attractive about Jesuits, you know, even before we entered, as we were discerning our vocations, was the sense that the formation they'd had, their spirituality, their way of addressing God and looking at the world, expanded and deepened their view of what the rest of us were looking at anyway. So they had a particular way of looking at culture, that a particular way of looking at literature or movies that seemed to be enlarged. It was bigger on the inside than the outside, so to speak. And that's part of what we're trying to demonstrate on the web, that the eyes of Ignatian spirituality and looking at these pieces of culture with the question, where is God in all this, actually expands rather than restricts your view of culture.
I'm interested here that one thing you're obviously doing is you have a blog, and that's obviously a natural format for a site like this, but you're also got longer essays. I gather, Jim, you're involved in helping to edit some of these. Is there a reason you chose to do some long-form stuff as well?
Well, I do think there's a little bit of a different audience sometimes for the longer stuff, in the sense that, well, first of all, we don't have space restrictions, so we can go a little longer online. But also, I think that maybe one way I'd like to think of it when I'm writing is that it's something that someone can read quickly or something someone can have and reflect on a little more deeply. So, for example, we had one piece I was editing where I was in consultation with the author, and I said, this is something that if I were a high school teacher, I could print out and give to my students. Or this is something that if I were leading a CLC or a small faith-sharing group with young adults, I could pass around or forward around, and people could read in a way that was a little bit closer to what America Magazine or Commonweal might have as a longer essay. And not entirely just short form stuff. It gives us a chance to expand a little more. I think the other issue is that a lot of the guys we have writing for us have these, in addition to interest in pop culture, have an academic or a professional specialty, which they can go into depth a little bit more and bring sort of more of their own love for a subject or their own particular take on a subject to bear there.
Yeah, Patty, maybe you can speak to this. I mean, this is, I guess, something you bring to the table, that you folks are all involved in your studies. You're doing, you know, your normal Jesuit formation, as Jim mentioned, so you may have areas of expertise that you can bring to this. But is that also a challenge as well, kind of balancing your formation work with also working on this site?
I think the straightforward answer to that is yes. I mean, I'd say a little story. The four of us were sitting around when Sam was able to visit out here from Boston one day. We're sitting around one evening and just kind of dawned on us, you know, we've maybe unintentionally started running our own magazine while in full-time graduate school. Like, it's maybe not the smartest idea in the history of the world, but it's been a lot of fun, and I think for me it's been informative in that as I'm doing my theology studies now, I feel like I have something to orient me. So often, I mean, I like theology, you know, as it's an academic discipline, I can be a little bit abstract in my thinking sometimes, but this is something that roots me right down into the ground. So I can say, yeah, look, here's a practical reason for me to want to read Athanasius or for me to dive into, you know, some of the, you know, mystics or whatever it would be, to say this stuff is relevant for all people at all times if we believe God, the same God is in relationship to them. So why wouldn't I want to learn those things and be able to present it in a contemporary idiom today?
Now, Sam, my understanding is you work on the tech side. I'm interested in some of the choices you made in order to, you know, get the conversation into places like Facebook, et cetera? Was that a key part of your strategy, trying to kind of bring these other communities or hook into those these existing social media communities?
Exactly. You know, there's the famous Ignatian adage about go in by their door, meet people where they are, basically. So we said, you know, we're trying to reach out to a generation, you know, college age and immediately post-college, and where do those people find what they want to read on the web? You know, where do they get started in their reading patterns? Where do they go when they're looking for something interesting? And the answer is Twitter, Facebook, you know, other kinds of social media. That's where people are starting out now. So it makes sense that that's where we want to be. And I mean, honestly, that's where we start out, right? So all of us, the Jesuits on staff, that's the kind of stuff we're paying attention to when we read on the web. So that was exactly where we wanted to start out. And we've seen pretty consistently that that's also where our readers are finding us. That's where they're coming in from. And we're seeing a lot of conversation. And what's encouraging to us is we're seeing conversation that's starting to ripple beyond, you know, the circle of people who already are Jesuits or friends with Jesuits, that it's getting shared, sort of the ripples are spreading out. And that's really what excites us, that we hope this is a new way to reach out to eventually be in contact with people who might otherwise not be in contact with the Jesuits, who might otherwise not get a chance to see Ignatian spirituality in action.
Well, Eric or Patty, maybe you could speak more to how this has been received thus far, what kind of feedback you've received.
Eric, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. It's also been great for us, the response and the interest in the site. There were many days where we've just been shocked about how many people are interested in visiting and the type of content people are reading and then sending us feedback and asking us if we're looking at other stuff. They've been giving us suggestions. And so, as Sam was talking there about social media, that sense of creating community, it happened a whole lot faster than we really expected it to. We were starting to get people interested in creating community and talking about our content and sharing ideas with us from day one. We were scrambling all over the place to get everything together. Sam was talking about social media. There's a really funny story. Sam and I called it the Paula Deen effect. When we first had stuff going and the Facebook integration, Facebook kept grabbing a picture of Paula Deen from our site and putting that up on everything on Facebook. And so Sam was scrambling all night one evening. He basically switched to West Coast time, even though he lives on the East Coast, trying to get all this stuff together so that every time Jesuit Post was mentioned in Facebook, we didn't have a picture of Paula Deen, but we actually had our logo up. So the response has been overwhelming and very, very, very fast, and so we've been scrambling to keep stuff together, but I think that's also given us a huge sort of adrenaline rush to keep things going, and all the contributors as well. I spend some time talking to our contributors and asking them how things are going, and what's been great for them is that sense of community that we're trying to create is being created among the Jesuits in formation that are working on it, so we're talking to each other, and we have that chance to work with each other, and they're talking about all these different people that they're working with in many different places. I get emails from friends of mine. I had one friend call me and say, have you ever seen the Jesuit Post? You really got to check this thing out. It's really cool. It's up your alley. It's something you'd really be interested in. And I had to write back to a friend of mine, a colleague from Chicago, and say, you do know that I work on that, right?
Now, you guys, I should mention, three of you are on the call from Berkeley, where you're studying, and then Sam, you're calling in from Boston, I assume, Boston College. And yet you have Jesuits from other, you know, I know Tim O'Brien is running from Chicago, so you've got guys from around the country contributing, correct?
Yeah, we certainly do. This is Patty. We have people from virtually, I mean, everywhere I can imagine. We have all of our places of study, so Fordham University in the Bronx, Boston College, we have people at St. Louis University writing for us, Loyola University of Chicago, some of us out here in Berkeley. There are people down in Los Angeles writing. All over the place, including a number of regions. We have people writing in from some of the reservations in South Dakota and in Denver, Colorado, and in many other places as well.
Jim, maybe you can speak to how this has been received by some of your fellow Jesuits, especially Jesuits perhaps of an older generation.
Well, I think that on the one hand, it takes a little bit of work to kind of explain what a new thing like this can be. And so people are not sure, well, is this a blog? Is this just is this a literary magazine? Is this something else? And so sometimes I think that when you cross genres this way, it does take a little bit of explanation. But I've gotten very positive feedback from people I've worked with in Catholic publishing, including a lot of you guys in America and other friends, and that's been very encouraging. I think both in the General Congregation 34 and in General Congregation 35, the worldwide meetings of Jesuits, there's been a lot of emphasis placed on communications and communication strategies and how do you reach people. And I think that we've always struggled with how that actually is going to happen. And a lot of times it's taking maybe, so for example, at America, you're taking a print magazine and expanding it into new realms and looking at new ways. And then we have other sort of organs that have either gone completely online or have kind of disappeared in terms of internal Jesuit stuff. And so that, I think, excites people a lot, that it, all right, well, this is something that is going to cross genres and introduce things in a new way. I also, this gets to the question of tone. I get a fair amount of freedom in being able to be a little bit cheekier and snarkier online than might be possible in print. And I don't know if I'm actually mistaken in that, and that's going to come back to bite us. But I do feel like there is a possibility with online writing where, and Grantland is a good example of this, is that something that wouldn't necessarily appear in print can be a little bit more freeform in terms of its asides, in terms of its sort of intertextual references, in terms of its relation to pop culture, that maybe both speaks to younger readers, but also allows some of our writers more freedom than they have in their academic work, than they have in their teaching, than they have in the other ways they express themselves. And I think that's a more fun way to write and a more fun way to read sometimes. And I think that, you know, the readers have appreciated that thus far.
I think, this is Patty, one of the things I think goes on is that so many young people today are used to operating on, you know, five or six different levels at the same time, understanding, okay, this is what I'm being presented with, this is the intentions of the advertiser behind presenting it to me, this is my attitude in receiving it, and there's just those layers of sarcasm upon, you know, reception, upon all those different kinds of things. And if we can't imitate that in our presentation of the gospel, then we're not going to be able to reach these people. I mean, in some ways, this is exactly what our, one of the pieces we published recently, Jamie Stayer's piece on S-word stuff Christian poets say. it's about how sincerity is very difficult to write about and to write from in today's day and age. And so if we can't use that kind of a tone, talking back and forth to ourselves, one another, making side references, linking to extra-textual things at the same time, then we're not going to be able to reach an audience who expects that all the time.
Now, Patty, you were quoted in America. We ran a short item about the Jesuit Post in the print edition saying that the ultimate goal is that perhaps you guys, who I gather are mostly in your late 20s, 30s, would at some point hand this down to the next generation. Is that the goal, to try to continue, even when you guys reach, you know, you are in your 40s, you're hoping that some other younger Jesuits will take over?
No, we really do. This is Patty. We really do hope that it will stay young. I think that, like Jim was saying, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to figure out exactly how to use these new media outlets well, you know, even though the society has wanted to do this for decades, or trying to reach out to young people for decades, recognizing a problem and not necessarily knowing what to do. And I think the only way to have answers to that is to empower people who've grown up within that very culture, to just speak to their peers. And so I think that's something that we want to try to do, you know, and we're doing our best. You know, maybe we won't succeed 100%, but we'll give it a good shot and not be afraid to fail. And one of the things we have to build into that kind of a structure is to always reach down the ladder to say that, look, if we want to speak to young people, it has to be, you know, peers speaking to peers in our day and age. And so we just don't need to be afraid of passing the, you know, reins of control down to younger Jesuits who will do something wild and different with this. And if it doesn't succeed, who cares? Who cares? You know, we take that real shot, like that risk of failure. You know, we're much freer, you know, to fail, you know, doing something like this on the web. And that's a privilege, I think, for us.
This is Sam. And also, I think I would add to that that, you know, one of the things we hope to enter into is the existing conversation that's already going on. So, you know, we'll link to America, or we'll link to something that maybe one of our contributors has written on a personal blog, and we've been seeing links coming in from that as well. So, you know, we hope that ultimately what we're doing will expand the conversation, and that we can serve almost as a bridge to an audience that has been largely able to ignore that conversation as it's gone on in, you know, the Catholic neighborhoods of the web, that we can help cross that frontier a little bit. and get the conversation to include them as well, which is one of the reasons why it's critical that we keep, that we allow it, the conversation to involve the voices of younger Jesuits so that they can reach younger people who often aren't included in the existing conversations.
Tim, this is Jim. One of the issues that we have talked about a lot that we want to address in the Jesuit Post and want to affect a lot of the writing is, how do you present things in a way that is life-building and is life-affirming and not relying always on attack or always on argument or always on a kind of internecine warfare? And so that's something that we try to bring both to the writing process and the editing process, is give people a way of looking at faith, at spirituality, at the intersection of their lives outside of the church and their faith, that is positive and that is compassionate and understanding and operates out of a kind of an optimism about other people.
If I can chime in here, this is Sam. I think to add to what Jim said, one of the things that each of us individually has realized and we've talked about as a group is that there's a kind of serendipity as we look at the web, as we experience the flow of even of social media and these kind of experiences of culture, there's a kind of serendipity where all of a sudden we sort of stumble over something that makes us rethink something that's occurred in our prayer or that echoes with a line from Scripture or makes us realize that maybe we did see God in that in a way that we hadn't quite noticed. And so in some ways the tone we're trying to take in our writing, the style of presentation on the site, is meant to encourage that serendipity and to try to crystallize it for our readers so that they can get some sense of that sort of that feeling of stumbling upon something within even pop culture that's deeper maybe than they knew to begin with.
Also, just really briefly, to speak to like our other Catholic writers, you know, other Catholic media outlets, is that we really want to be and are intentionally trying to be like a frontline evangelical presence on the web. And we want to really partner with those people who are having those very important intra-Catholic Church conversations. And we don't think those are in any way unimportant or something like that. But we also recognize that it's impossible to welcome people into a conversation that started, you know, at the dinner table 3 hours ago in the same way that it would have happened if they had been there at the beginning. And so somebody's got to be there to usher them into the conversation. And that's what really we see our role as, is to make the case, these are some of the reasons why you may want to join this conversation that we think is eminently important, but we don't want to pretend that it's fair to just say, okay, you can just catch up completely and join us, you know, inside the church that way.
Well, I want to thank you for all taking part in this conversation and wish you great luck with this venture.
Thank you, Tim.